Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today? You all right? You happy?
Yes.
What are you happy about? Let's look at that just for a minute. I'm glad to say, hear you say that you're happy. Do you think your life, your happiness can change the world? What about that? Think about what makes you happy. Does the church make you happy? Does the world make you happy? Does being a Christian make you happy?
Yes.
Well, you know the right answer to that. Now, how can your happiness help change the world? Don't quote me on this, but did I hear recently, since the election of Pope Leo, didn't I hear the number, like there's 3.6 billion Catholics in the world, or Christians, is that right? Something like that. About a third of humanity. We're 8 billion now on Earth? And if we come to the heart of this gospel, as I have loved you, so you also should love one another. Now, before I kind of get into the heart of things, well, maybe this is the heart of things. You know well, historically and generationally, Christians are not only persecuted, but we take a lot of lumps, don't we? But I know for a fact, and I do try to do this myself, and I do pray every day that I could love more. But what if let's just say my number's correct. I don't know if it is. But let's just say our number's correct. Let's say there's 3.5 billion Christians, and not just Catholics, Christians in the world. What if we just kicked it up a notch? And we just practiced what we preached. And we all just loved 10% more. Don't you think that would change the world? I think there'd be earthquakes. Really. And don't you think there'd be a lot of pushback? Probably. Because the devil hates love. And the devil hates unity. Think about that. Now I know people, and sometimes, honestly, I'm one of them, that I have to remind myself that I'm happy. Doesn't that sound foolish? But you get into the rhythm of life, and it's like, okay, it's a Tuesday. What's on my calendar for Tuesday? And I love my life, really, I do. And I know someone says, if I wasn't me, I'd want to be me. That sounds kind of arrogant, doesn't it? But I do love my life. But I know, I do notice emotionally that sometimes I really have to remind myself how good my life is, and that I really, at large, really am quite happy. I'm very satisfied. I'm very blessed. And I'm not bragging, because I know a lot, we're all blessed, are we not? Thank you. That was about 30 of you. We're all blessed. But think about, really, you're here this morning. So by the fact that you're here, you're professing your faith in Christ. And is it Christ that helps you be more happy? And in that profession of Christ, is it that profession of faith that makes you more loving? Sometimes we have to put the pieces together, right? That's all I wanted to say about that. Jesus had no illusion that the Christianity that evolved generationally after his life, suffering, death, and resurrection would somehow be a glorious perfection of love and joy and the fully realized justice and peace that will become the kingdom of God. I read Jesus Calling most every day, and I think it was, I don't remember what day, I think it was maybe May 14th in Jesus Calling. It's not the right day, it doesn't matter. Don't try, to have a problem-free life. It's a waste of energy, right? Life's hard. Or to steal a line again from Scott Peck, The Road Less Traveled, what, 30 years ago he wrote that book? Life is difficult. Well, now there's an insight. It is difficult. Jesus was fully aware that Christian love is messy, it's conflicted, and often questioned. And in the incarnation, the birth of Jesus through Mary, his redemptive work, his generously self-giving life, and his dying on the cross, and his resurrection, he never said it was going to be a rose garden. Now, I don't know how much of an insight it is, but it did strike me a week and a half or so ago when I wrote this article that human love and Christian love are the same love, right? Think about it. Christian love isn't human love on steroids. Christian love is human love, and human love is Christian love. So what's the difference? The difference, as it came to me, is that Christian love is professed. We profess Jesus Christ is Lord. We profess through the incarnation that Jesus is the truth of God. And I believe that. We say that, and it's true. But that Christian love that we profess in Christ is human love, revealed in its fullness in the life, death, and suffering of Jesus, realized and confirmed in his dying and rising. Jesus is the model and the example of all that's possible in human love. And that all of us, he's not asking for volunteers to go jump on a cross, but as he says, there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. He did that in his human nature, in his human body, but also with his divine nature. But that same love is in you, and it's in me. And, you know, without being too grandiose about it, if all of us could just maybe love 10% more, man, wouldn't that change the world? Wouldn't that make you a lot happier? It'd make a lot of other people happier, unless you're just loving yourself. And that doesn't last long for happy, right? Jesus was very aware, as he went to the cross, that in the promise of the divine union he talked about, in union with the Father, in those later chapters, particularly in John's Gospel, he was very aware that after his death, we would be fraught. Humanity would be fraught. Christians would be weighed down by every messiness and challenge. So if you're trying to live a stress-free, problem-free life, would you give it up? Because it ain't going to make you happy. I'll make my case on the gospel today. Consider the tension in what I think really is an odd contradiction in today's gospel. Again, the setting is the Last Supper. So kind of we're going backwards now, right? We already celebrated the resurrection, but we're back at the Last Supper table. And Jesus has just finished washing the disciples' feet. And again, as has often been said quite rightly, this isn't really a love feast. And yet, at the same time, in the midst of all that love, as Jesus shares the legacy and the mission of his life, literally hours before he's going to be put on the cross, that love fest is marred by the consequence and the disorder of sin and really evil, even at the table of love. Seems odd to me, doesn't it? That Jesus is really about to give them this new commandment, love one another, that there's a betrayer and a denier at that table. Jesus was not presuming a perfect life. Now notice, he did not say, no, I want you folks to start loving one another. He didn't say that. No, it's a big difference. He said, as I have loved you, so you should love one another. Big difference. Because Jesus never asked any of his followers, including you and I, to do anything that he has not already done himself in his self-giving love, his ready compassion, forgiveness, tolerance, patience, mercy, etc. And he's asking us to do the same thing as I have done for you. Now, we have to admit, our human love is not exactly the same as the love of Jesus. It's supposed to be, ideally, but Jesus understands. We're weak and human. We're not fully divine as he was, but we're called to move in that direction, are we not? There's a certain author, God rest him, Father Thomas Keating, Benedictine. He said, you want to be a saint? A saint? Well, why stop there? Why don't you long to be divinized? Wow. Well, that's where we're headed, right? To become one with God. To share the divinization that God is. Do we become God? No, that'd be a little fat-headed. But we're called to share the divinity of God through our participation in Christ. How do we do that? To the best of our ability, to imitate the Lord Jesus as he has loved us. How has he loved you? I think he's doing a pretty good job of loving me. You might disagree with some of my behavior. But pretty much a lot of the time, I feel quite loved, despite myself and my own failures. So look what's happening at the table. Again, consider the situation. Jesus knows, and he's known for a while, as any of us might perceive, when we feel kind of a darkness or a heaviness in the air, or maybe in a person. Jesus knows Judas is going to betray him. And at the betrayal, as Judas hands him over to the religious authorities, Jesus knows it's going to result in his death. He knows that's all going to happen. Probably in a similar way that he knew Peter was going to deny him. Peter, this night you will deny me three times. Oh, no, I won't, Lord. I love you. I've said that before. So you have a betrayer and a denier at that table. And he just finished washing their feet. And he washed their feet with the same love as he washed all the other people's feet. Knowing that the one, Judas, would be the betrayer that put him on the cross, ultimately. Now, don't get small there and say, well, if Judas hadn't done that, maybe Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross. Nobody put Jesus on the cross. Jesus chose, out of love, to give his life for his friends. And you're his friend. And he knows Peter and Judas are going to deny and betray. But he washes their feet with the same love as he washed everybody else's feet. So it's kind of an odd thing, isn't it? When on Holy Thursday, we used to have 12 people to wash feet. We can't find 12 anymore, so we have to settle with 6. Because people don't want to have their feet washed. You know this? Maybe next Holy Thursday, you can wash my feet. It's kind of a healing, isn't it? It's kind of a forgiveness. that God Almighty in the incarnate Christ is bowing low and washing the feet of the sinners for whom he is going to die. I said, if we all love 10% more, it would change the world. But Jesus, seems to me, is loving with 100% of all the love he has. And the fruit of that love, human and divine, is our redemption. They both got the same foot washing with the same love. I hope that's an encouragement to you. And I offer that to you as a hope, you see. Because Jesus knows human nature and he knows human weakness. He knows the weaknesses that befall us. And I don't know whoever said it, but it's true enough that saints and sinners are the same because they get the same forgiveness. But the saints, when they fall down, they get up and they come back. Because they don't want to live without the love and the mercy of the Lord. So they come back. That's the difference of Judas and Peter, right? What if Judas had come back and really said, oh my God, Lord, what was I thinking? Oh my God, I mean, Jesus did. Don't you think Jesus would have forgiven him? Yeah, I think so. Peter did come back. Lord, you know I love you. He didn't want to live without Jesus. So human love and Christian love are the same love. But for ourselves as Christians, we profess Christ. We profess a person, Jesus, who directs us to love one another as he has loved us. And with that profession of faith, we in fact open ourselves to the judgment and criticism and rejections and sometimes persecution of others. Huh, you Christians, you think you're better than anybody. Ah, if only we could be. Do you think non-believers in God, atheists, are happier because they don't have to follow the commandment to love others? I don't think so. Because there's nobody in the world breathing air or wearing skin that doesn't need love. Isn't that true? It is. People without love become irrational. They become lost. They're undeveloped as human beings, and too often they become violent. They may kill themselves, and sometimes they kill others. We can't live human lives without love. And all love is Christian love, except if you're talking about love of pizza. That's different. But all the love is the same. Now, that might sound harsh, but it's not. It's just the reality of our human condition. And it's the reality of our Savior. As I have loved you. But isn't that why we boldly proclaim Christ as the truth of love? Love is truth. God is love. Jesus Christ is God. Sounds pretty high-headed. But the atheists and the non-believers and those who don't really want to be bothered by God, church, or religion, they need the same love as you and I love. Which is why I don't often have this kind of encounter, but if a non-believer comes, oh, what do you believe in that for? I say, well, who is the God you don't believe in? Do you believe in love? And then you kind of have to think about it. But that's why we profess it then. You fail, I fail. You hurt others, sometimes I do. Sometimes you're hurt by others as I am. But those are opportunities, are we not? Are they not? To accept the love of Christ and in a metaphorical way, in a spiritual way, can we come to have our feet washed? That feet washing at the Last Supper was a kind of baptism, wasn't it? Those 12 apostles didn't go through an RCIA program. They didn't have to wait 3 months or 6 months to get confirmed. I mean, technically, the only sacrament they technically received from Jesus was their Eucharist, first Eucharist. The washing of the feet was a kind of a baptism. It was a kind of a confession because it was an act of humility and love. So when you fall down, get up. And maybe in your prayer, use that image and let Jesus wash your feet and get up and try again. We might think that the commandment to love one another is a burden, but it's really a gift. Commandment is not really the right word there, is it? Because can anybody, including God, can anybody command you to love another one? No. Love has to be a free choice. As he said, technically, Jesus said, as I have loved you, so you also should love one another. He doesn't say, you must, you better, or I'll get you. He says, you should. The more we do it, the more we're like Jesus. Maybe think about it this way. You were human before you became a Christian. And if you had not been loved by your mother and father and family, you would not be the person you are today. The love that you've been given by your family and others has nurtured you to this day in both human love and Christian love. But because of that love, and I know it's not perfect, there's a lot of people here, oh, he didn't grow up in my house. And I didn't, but I grew up in mine. It was good, but it wasn't perfect. Did I turn out okay? Don't answer that. This is a public forum. We choose to profess and commit to profess the name of Jesus. As he has loved us, we're called, invited, and we should love one another, all others. Do your best. When you fall, get up, have your feet washed, start over, never quit. One day, see you in heaven. At least not today, not before lunch. And if you love pizza, thank God for that too.